From South Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan, here's Dr. Howard S. Ogden, our senior pastor, to share with you his morning message of September 6, 1987, entitled, Count on Him. Pastor Ogden.
I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Shall we pray? Our Father, when we reflect for a moment even on the wonder of the sacrifice that you have made for us, our hearts are strangely moved. We get so self-centered and half-hearted, we need to be aroused to the wondrous truth of how much it cost for our redemption. Oh, bless us this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. A little man, old, stood by my side and said, Pastor Ogden, how can I live in these days that are so desperate? And what's going to happen to me anyway? Oh, I said, you're a Christian, are you? Oh, yes, he said. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I said, you don't have any worries, any anxieties? He said, I don't. I said, no, you don't. He said, how can you say that to me? I said, because God won't fail you. He said, I hadn't thought of that. Well, I said, that's worth thinking about. God won't fail you. Last Lord's Day morning, we spent the morning hour thinking together about this truth. I will not fail thee. And we found that it was woven through the entire fabric of the Old Testament. The subject of the unfailingness of God is beyond comprehension. God will not fail. All that he has purposed, all that he has planned, all that he has undertaken, all he will perform, he will not fail. Now in his unfailingness, we have his faithfulness. His faithfulness rests upon the secure foundation that he cannot fail. This makes him faithful. Now I want, in the 20 minutes I have this morning, I want to read, I can't expound, but I can read with you, following in your scriptures, the great promises made by God himself in his word to us about how faithful he is and in what areas of life he is faithful. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He has spoken about the Lord Jesus, Paul has, as he writes to the Corinthians. And he tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ will confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be faithful, and in his faithfulness, he will confirm us unto the end. Faithful is he. Now, the word confirm is a word that we use all the time. We secure things. We fasten things down. We secure things. When Mrs. Sugden and I go to Canada in the first week of August, usually, we arrange it so that we can drive into Sarnia. And when we get in Sarnia, there's a little motel, and they have fair beds and some food. Now, we go there for the beds and the food, but there's another thing we go there for. We go there because it's right by the river. And it's right by the boat works. No, not the boat works, but whatever they call a place where they put boats. And they can wash two blocks, and they can stand in the midst along the shore where there will be millions, I would gather, of dollars worth of boats. And you say, how stupid are those people to put those boats in the water and leave them there? You mean they stay there all night? Oh, of course they do. I'll tell you, when you walk along in front of those boats and see chains as big as your arm and locks that big, you understand that no one has brought a boat into that port without securing it. It could never be moved by anybody except its owner. And Paul said, you know what the Lord did when he saved you? He brought you into a position with himself so that he has secured you and made you safe. He is faithful. He will do this. I do not know what I would do if I did not know that God had secured me in his plan and in his purpose. I'd be as lost as I could be, saying, I wonder will I make it through all right. He said to these Corinthians, and they were a bad crowd to start with. They were saved out of awful depths of sin and iniquity and shame. They were lesbians, homosexuals, you name any name you want to name. The Corinthians had done this. When they wanted to say something nasty about you, they called you a Corinthian in those days. And out of this crowd, he takes people and saves them and secures them in his faithfulness. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. This is the salvation of God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 10 now. We're still in Corinthians. We're in 10. He is faithful to secure us. Now we are in 10. 1 Corinthians 10. It is good to know. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them. He has rehearsed Israel's history in the previous verses. All of these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our instruction, admonition upon whom the end of the ages have come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now note, there has no testing, it's temptation, the two words linked together in the Word of God, there hath no temptation, no testing taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And how is he faithful? He will not permit you to be tested above that you are able. Isn't that wonderful? He knows me. He knows how much I can stand. He knows how much pressure I can take. He knows you, and he never allows you to have more than you can take. When we were kids on the farm, our chores were very meticulously set out. You have to have order, and that's why I learned order for my life and timeliness on my life. I was on schedule or I got it. And I was on schedule. But my father gave me the responsibilities of carrying in the wood. Now, you wouldn't know anything about this because everybody uses electricity today, pay big bills with electricity or gas or some other way. But we burned wood, and it had to be carried from the wood piles into the box where it could be used in our stove. My responsibility was to carry in the wood. Oh. And my father would help me sometimes. He would load me. I'd put out my chubby arms, and he'd put the load in my arms. I can still hear my mother saying, Charles, yes, you're putting too much on Howard. And he would say, I know how much he can carry. You know, that's what God knows. He knows how much I can carry. That's what Paul says. He said he will not allow testings and trials to come to you as his child without giving them to you. Now notice what else. God is faithful. He will not suffer you, permit you to be tested above that you are able, but will with the testing also make a way of escape. Just think what it is. He thinks of you twice. He thinks about the load you have to bear, and he thinks about the way that you can escape. And he said he is faithful, faithful. Just think of this. In this sticky business of living, with its heavy loads, with its responsibilities, with the trials that come and the testings that are ours, here is a faithful God who knows how much I can carry. And he opens a way of escape for me from the testing temptations. Faithful, says he's faithful. Go with me now to 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. We're only reading. We're not able to expound because we don't have time. 2 Thessalonians 3. Let's begin with 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, Paul says to the Thessalonians. He said, don't forget me. I hope that you have a great long prayer list that you make. Make it early in your life. Write down the names of people that you care for, some you don't care for, but you pray for. Don't forget, just don't pray helter-skelter. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. He said, pray that where I go, God will help me to speak and give the word. And then he said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, but he said, the Lord is able, or no, faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil one. That's the way it should be translated. He's faithful to secure me. He's faithful in my testings. Now he's faithful when satanic attack comes upon my life. You say, Pastor, you honestly don't believe that there are demons loose in the world and that there are satanic attacks made upon people today? Oh, I believe that 1,000% more today than I did when I started out. You can't see TV, read papers, walk in society, so-called, without being aware that there must be back of the movements that we see in our world today, powers that would destroy, debilitate us. We know that. But think, here is God. God who is the faithful God. He is faithful and he will establish you and keep you from evil, from the evil one. When Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians, he said, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the spirits of wickedness in heavenly places or in the heavenlies. Battles being fought between satanic powers and godly powers in the world today. And it breaks out in our newspapers and on television, and we see it. Luther knew something about this way back in his day when he wrote his marvelous hymn and climaxed it by saying, and though this world with demons filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. Why? Because God is a faithful God in the battle I'm in. I'm in a battle like you are. And God doesn't look down and say, well, I see they're in trouble today. Hope they get along. Paul says to the Thessalonians, the Lord is the one who is concerned about keeping you from falling in the times of evil attacks upon your life. He is faithful. We're just reading. Wouldn't it be great if we had a time to expound 20 minutes on each one? Go to 1 John 1:9. This is one of my great faithful ones. Mark it in your Bible. You may need it sometime. 1 John 1:9. You know this verse so well. This is the verse that comes to you in hours of sheer desperation. I mean the desperation that comes when you realize that you've messed it up, that you've done the thing that you shouldn't do, that you've said the thing that you shouldn't say, that you have an attitude that's a so-what attitude. What difference does it make whether I'm there or not, whether I'm in prayer meeting, whether I'm in any service? What difference does it make? And you get an attitude of life that suddenly you arouse yourself and say, this is sad. I remember when that happened to me as I started out in the Christian life. One day I didn't have a table like this to examine myself, but I just thought, I've been a Christian for 6 months and things hadn't gone well. So I went to my pastor and said to him, I don't think I'm doing very well. And I'm so glad he didn't scold me and say, well, you're a louse. He put his arm around me and said, tell me about it. Well, I said, I don't think there's anything to tell, but I said, there was a day when my heart was kind of warm. And I loved God more than I do today. Well, he said, that happens to a lot of people. I said, it does. He said, it does. And he should have known, because he had lived through a lot. Then he said to me, there's a wonderful verse you need to know. And he gave me 1 John 1:9. I thought that was the greatest thing I had ever heard. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He's righteous. He does things that are right. In his faithfulness and in his righteousness, I tell him what I have done, and he cleans the slate, makes it possible for me to live again and be comfortable again in his presence. Dear Christian, this is a truth we need to lay hold of in our hearts. It keeps a fire fanned upon the altar of our souls and saves us from just getting by and saying, well, it will make any difference. I'm secure, so what difference does it make? God working in us. Just think he's faithful. I can almost hear, if I'd had time to give this man who talked with me all these wonderful truths, how he must have sighed and said, oh, isn't this great? If we acknowledge our sins, tell him. And when you tell him, trust him to forgive you and set things right. He is faithful. We have come to know a God who is unfailing. He will not fail. And in his unfailingness, here is his faithfulness to us. Every day we live on his faithfulness. So John said to these early Christians who are having troubles, he said, if you have confession. Now confession is this way. This way. I was born in the Christian faith and life in a time when the Buckman movement was just beginning. Now, not even know anything about the Oxford Group movement. Maybe that'll ring a bell. They rejoiced in confession meetings. This was back 50 years ago. They'd have meetings and everybody came and they confessed their sins and they tried to outdo each other. And some of them were whoppers. No, fellow, oh, I can outdo that. I'm worse than he is. That's not the kind of confession that we have. And I got in a meeting one day with a group of pastors. An old pastor took me to the meeting. And we sat in this meeting, and I'll never forget it in my life. The meeting started, and a fellow came out and started to tell some gory story about his life. And the old pastor that sat next to me, had another young pastor on the other side, and I saw him reach over and tap my friend on his knee. And the meeting had just started. And then he tapped my knee. He was a tapper. And he said, "We're leaving the meeting." I said, "It just started." He said, "I know, but we're leaving the meeting now. Now. You understand it?" I said, "Now." He said, "Now." So we got up, and to my horror here before the crowd, we walked out. When we got outside, I said to him, "What in the world did we leave for?" "Because," he said, "that isn't the kind of meeting we want to be in." He said, "Those people are having a good time with their sin. And before they get through, they'll all be telling how dirty they are and what a wonderful thing it was." And he said, "That's not the way you do it with God." A fellow talked with me up in Canada just this summer. I went through it. There have been big confession meetings, and everybody was trying to outdo each other in sin. He said, "When you confess your sin, you confess your sin before God and tell him what you've done and ask him to forgive you." And then he turned to me and said, "Get up and go on." I thought that makes sense. And it's 1 John 1:9. So you don't allow the circumstances to crush you and hurt you, and you go on and your life gets lean and narrow and bitter and hard and hurt. You keep short accounts. The old Salvation Army man said, "I keep short accounts with God." Do it. If we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us. Faithful. Oh, my time is up. Let's go back and get just one more. Just one more. 1 Thessalonians 5. Do it quickly. Now, you didn't think you were going to get out this early, but maybe you aren't. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Oh, I like this. Put a circle around it. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That is, keep you clean, sanctify you wholly. Now note what he asks to do. And here he is praying now, praying for them, praying for us. "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus." Just think, did you know what? This shocked some people. Did you know that God has an interest in your total personality? He isn't interested in fragmenting people's lives. He said we are a trichotomy. There are three parts to us: spirit, soul, and body. And you know what God's going to do? In His faithfulness, He's going to take care of my total personality. Total. I've heard people say, "Well, I think God's interested in our souls. He's interested in our bodies. He's interested in our spirit. He is interested in the total personality." And He's making a promise here that in His faithfulness, He's going to watch over him. You won't have much trouble with him. It's his size. But you get a fellow this big, you got problems. Oh, isn't that right? Spirit, soul, and body. Just think, He's taking care of the total person. How does He do that? In His faithfulness, He watches over us totally. I wouldn't know you if I just saw your spirit on the street and soul, but I will know you with your body. And so in His faithfulness, He has made a plan. He's going to preserve us and bring us through and bring us out and bring us in. And He is the faithful, faithful God, and will keep every promise that He has ever made. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And you can rejoice today in Him and all that He is for your life. Shall we pray? Dear Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your unfailingness that makes your unfaithfulness. You will be faithful, faithful, faithful. No unfaithfulness with you, because you care for us. Oh, thank you. And bless us now as we sing. And someone who doesn't know this one who is faithful may come to know him for Jesus' sake. Amen.